2023 prophetic school is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
So let's go straight into the prophetic mind. All right? So what is the prophetic mind? Before I read any scripture, what is the prophetic mind? And please take your notes. The prophetic mind is the ability of a person, of a Christian, to receive revelation knowledge through strong impressions, visuals, feelings with the mind, with a strong sense of accuracy. Let me repeat that. The prophetic mind is the ability of a person to receive revelation knowledge through strong impressions, visuals, things you can see, feelings, and your mind with a strong sense of accuracy. So basically what we are saying here is the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is ministering to you. But that message is going into your spirit, but you cannot make any sense out of it until your mind comes into the picture. So many of you would have experienced the situation in which you are probably somewhere, you know, maybe you at home, and you are planning to go, you know, leave the house for some other location, and then you just have this strong impression. That strong impression is not a voice. It's a very strong burden. And it's saying, pray right now. The burden just means pray. And then you pray until the burden lifts. You are not able to do any other thing. Sometimes you may just find that there's a burden of intercession upon you, and you become restless. You are not able to do anything significant until you have prayed out that burden. At other times, you are receiving revelations from the Lord, but they are coming as very powerful, strong impressions. It may almost feel as though it's your mind, but it's not your mind. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit flowing through your mind, through your spirit, into your mind, bringing definite communications. Sometimes you see them like flashes. Sometimes they come like very strong feelings or like knowledge. Okay, so, and I'm going to break this down, so don't worry. So you are experiencing something we refer to as the prophetic mind. Let me give you another description. The prophetic mind is the retooling, that's retooling, the retooling of the mind to serve the will of God by bending towards the mind of Christ as a primary function and not a secondary function. Let me explain this. Now, let me just take it one more time. It is the retooling of the mind. To retool means to rework something. To rework the mind to serve the will of God by bending towards the mind of Christ as a primary function and not a secondary function. Now, I'm sharing this with you. You know, these are the things I have learned, and they have really helped me, you know. So what we are saying here is that basically when you come into the world, you begin to go to school, you learn from association, relating with people in the environment at home. Then you get into school and they begin to teach you, educate you in a structured way. And, you know, education never ends. So by the time you hit the university or you are doing your master's degree, you are already formed in a particular way. You are formed, your mind is formed in a particular way. You know, when I was doing my second degree at the University of Lagos, I had a very, very difficult, you know, project or thesis supervisor. Not difficult in the sense of wicked, but in the sense that it was very thorough. All right. So that by the time it was done with me, you know, I realized that I was taking up a bit of his critical thinking skills. All right. So that's what happens when you are being mentored. Jesus said, our Lord Jesus said, when a servant is perfect, it will be as his master. All right. Not all these things you see around today, and you see people going up and down. You can't really trace where they are coming from. You can't say, oh, this person was trained from this ministry or has a connection with that particular man of God. You would find, for instance, that when somebody has been in Deeper Life for several years, years after he has left Deeper Life, years after he has left Deeper Life, you will still, if you see him from afar and you are meeting for the first time, you may almost suspect he's a Deeper Life member. If you understand what I'm saying, just type something. Because there's this way they are taught. There's this level of indoctrination. Even after they have left that church, they can't really change. They are almost just the same way, with just a little touch, you know. But even the way they talk, their calmness, you just realize that it's the same. Amen. Just a little touch up. All right. So it's the same thing. You develop a certain way of thinking, and that is what happens to us when we go through school. We are taught in a particular way that many times could be detrimental to the spirit life. So when Adam was created by God, he was an intelligent being, both spiritually and psychologically. So when the Lord said to him, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. The question I would like to ask you here now, when Adam ate that fruit, did he die that day or did he die years after? This is a question now, please. If you believe he died that day, just write that day. Somebody said he died that day. Okay. Yeah, somebody said years later. Okay. When you look at that scripture, the word of God said the day. So Adam still lived for 900 years. So what died in Adam? It was his spirit. He was disconnected from the life of God. He was disconnected from the source, from his source. It's just like taking a plant out of the soil. It begins to die. It may not die off completely that day, but by the next day, you find that that plant, has withered. So it's the same thing. Your abilities, your spiritual abilities as a believer are only enhanced and fully functional when you are planted in the Lord in at least minimum of two areas. Number one, you must be planted in your spirit. When a man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says the old things have passed away, including his former life, and the new has come. That also suggests from the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, that a man that has become a child of God has no past. That man has no past. That old man is dead. But you see, the soul is still the same old guy. The soul is still that guy that believes the same thing. If you grew up believing that if you don't go to your village and perform a kind of ritual once every 6 months, something's going to happen to you. If you are not properly taught the word of God, you are still going to be held bound by that system. I'm saying all this to explain that word retooling is required when a person, especially somebody that is, exactly like the fig tree Jesus cut. You know, the tree died immediately, but it was a while before the signs showed. All right. So your spirit received the life of God, but you see, there is another layer that God must possess, and that is our soul. You see, it doesn't really matter who has the spirit or who has the body. Where the match will be played, you know, the stadium, where the match will be played, you know, where's that place where Chelsea plays their match now? Somebody remind me. Please help me now. What's the name of that stadium? There's this. For those who watch ball here, you know, Stamford, exactly. Stamford Bridge, you know. So Stamford Bridge. It doesn't matter what everybody says. Where you play the match is what determines how effective or productive that person or that system is going to be. In this case, your soul is the pitch where these things are going to play out. So even when God is speaking to you, that revelation must flow into your mind for it to become intelligent. And what Satan, excuse me, tries to do is to convince you that your mind is of no use to God. In fact, I've gone to meetings, I've attended church meetings, some of all these special light and sound conferences where they preach esoteric things, no, but things that only make sense to the emotions but have no relevance, you know. And the preacher was saying, the soul of man is evil. The soul of man is evil. He was saying the soul must die. But what the scripture said is that it is the soul that sinned that shall die. So if the soul that practices righteousness, what happens to it? That soul will live. The soul is not bad. If the soul was bad, you can't enjoy good music. You can't read a book and enjoy it. You can't read those historical parts of the Bible where, you know, the days of the kings and enjoy those stories. You can't study the book of Proverbs and enjoy, you know, the several quotes of King Solomon. You can't see a lady that you like and say you want to marry her. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the soul was created by God. It is also reflective of the nature and person of God, only that sin has corrupted it. All right? So the prophetic mind means that we can retool and begin to retrain that mind to serve the primary functions of bending towards the will of God instead of the will of the flesh. Do you notice that when Satan or the serpent was going to convince Eve to sin against God, he never really said to them, come and sin against God. He just pushed them to the terrain of the soul where a decision could be made. The decision that they made was in the soul. Because Eve saw the fruit and realized that it was desirable to the eyes. It was pleasant to the eyes. And the moment she saw that, she ate it. So Satan will not just come here and say, come and see. No, he will either make you do something, make a decision, develop feelings for something, you know, all those things that surround your will, your mind, your emotions, your intellect, your imaginations, your thought patterns, all right? You know, your thought patterns. Those are things. Those are the areas Satan seeks around to convince you that you are the one making the decision. And that's why even when the spirit of the enemy is in action and you eventually fall into sin, what Satan is going to be telling you is that it was you who went to that house, it was you who went to his house, it was you, you knew what you were doing. And that's why even when you ask God for forgiveness, you find it extremely difficult to forgive yourself because you know you did it. So you can retool your mind to tilt towards the Lord and to bend towards the will of Christ. Now, it is in developing the mind of Christ through the activation of your senses. Let me rephrase. The prophetic mind is the developing of the mind of Christ. The prophetic mind is the developing of the mind of Christ through the activations of your spiritual senses to discern accurately. Let me quickly run through a few scriptures here. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, the scripture says in verse 14, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not, that's verse 13, is not acquainted with the teachings of righteousness, but strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, and you need to consider that language or that phrase, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Now, let me quickly touch on this one. I will not touch on verse 13 because that's an entire Bible study. But I want to drill down to verse 14, where the scripture says that strong meat, the deep things of God, you can refer that to the deep things of God, the things that are beyond babies. They belong to those who are of full age, who are matured. And he began to describe to us, who are these kind of people? He said, they are those who have learned by reason of use. That means they have learned how to use their senses, to exercise their senses, to discern. You see, the word discern there is similar to the word perception, to distinguish between good and evil. So you can train your mind, you can train your spirit to be able to discern. You will not really be hearing voices, but your spirit will be processing a lot of information and passing them to your mind. And these things take time, but believe me, they can be learned. All right. Look at the book of Luke chapter 5, verses 22 and verse 23. The scripture says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, you see, Jesus was demonstrating the prophetic mind in Luke chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He discerned, he perceived their thoughts. You see, this is one of the very powerful aspects of the prophetic mind. Okay, Jesus didn't hear a voice. He didn't hear a voice. He didn't hear a thunder. He perceived their thought. That was, he was operating at a higher level of mindedness. Okay? He was able to perceive the thoughts of people around them. And he started asking them, why reason ye in your heart? Okay? Now, let me quickly ask this question. Have you ever been in church before? And while you are worshiping God, you know, you are... A song was just going on in your mind, and all of a sudden, somebody started singing that song. The lady leading worship started singing that song. Have you ever experienced that before? Okay, that is a demonstration of the prophetic mind. Okay, because the realm of thought is a realm of signals. Okay, depending on how connected you are, you can tap into what sometimes the prevailing thoughts that are around you. All right, and these things are very powerful. Now, you operated that mind, that prophetic mind, unconsciously, but it is very possible to train your spirit to be able to disciple your mind such that you are able to function in this more regularly like Jesus Christ. Now, again, you know, when I was in Benin City, the scripture that I was studying or that I was going to teach from was from Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And this was the scripture with which the Lord began to teach me about the prophetic mind. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the retooling of your mind or by the renewing of your mind so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Hallelujah. So that you will be able to test, you know, when somebody is telling you, oh, this is the will of God, a lot of people claim to hear God, but you see, the ability to test and to approve or discern or to determine what the will of God is not given to everybody, because most people who claim to hear the voice of God have not been renewing their mind, and they don't practice this regularly. So the Lord used this scripture to begin to explain to me that, look, if you can begin to put yourself on a program where your mind defaults to the will of God, to the mind of Christ, basically, before what you want to eat or what you want to drink or where you want to go or the client you need to speak to, that if I can retool my mind such that the default function of my mind is the will of God, that I will begin to operate in the prophetic mind easily. That's what the Lord said to me. And that not only would I be able to discern the thoughts of men, not only would I be able to know things to come, but I will be able to test when somebody is demonstrating certain giftings around me. I can discern by what spirit that they are operating without necessarily hearing voices. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 12, and David perceived, you see, that's the prophetic mind, that the Lord has established him as king over Israel. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 14. The eyes of the wise man are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Praise God. So I'm giving you snapshots of the operations of the prophetic mind. All right? Your senses can be developed. And this development only happens by you. So what the Lord does is that he allows you to have some of these experiences, and you are thinking, oh, is this my mind? Is it me? Then all of a sudden you find that the things that were impressed on your mind started happening. So what happens is that, and I want you to put this down, usage leads to confidence. Usage leads to confidence. You cannot develop this particular grace until you begin to use it in your regular and daily life. When the Holy Spirit begins to minister to your mind, and but he's not talking, but he's putting very strong impressions, you begin to test it. The other day, you know, I had this strong impression to pray for a particular sister, and then later she called me to say, oh, she was very sick, that, you know, around that period. And, you know, and so I begin to see that, okay, this thing is actually working, all right? Or you just felt a strong impression. And the language of that impression is pray for your pastor. And then later you are chatting with your pastor, and the pastor will say, you know what, I was going through a very tough time, and I don't know, you know, but I'm out of it now. You begin to develop like, okay, every time this thing happens like this. So over time, you develop confidence in that thing, because you are not operating it in absentia. You are not operating in this dimension as something that is just the sovereign will of God. You are studying the science of it. You are looking at the science of it. Okay, let me give you this example. About a few months ago, we were in church during the service. And while we were in service, I was just about to preach. And then I stopped. We were worshiping. Then I stopped and I began to prophesy about the new king of England and the woman that was the prime minister, Liz Truss. And then I began to prophesy that the Lord said her days were numbered and that she would not be there for long. And I began to prophesy about the king of England, that the Lord said, this one has the head of a goat and that he's very stubborn. And the Lord began that we should not expect anything from him. Then also in that same prophecy, I began to speak concerning the rise of an immigrant in the UK. All right? And now, that same week, Liz Truss was removed. And then we saw somebody of Indian descent become the prime minister of the UK for the first time. All right? How was I able to operate in this? It was through the prophetic mind. That's what I was trying to explain to you. Look at that detailed revelation that I just described. But because of having been exposed to this operation over time, deliberately, I was able to get a detailed prophecy about an entire nation, and it happened within the same week. All right. So what I'm talking to you about here is not mind game. I'm saying you are going to take your mind and submit it to the Holy Spirit so that the revelations that are coming from the Holy Spirit into your spirit, you won't lose half of it because of your biases, because of personal interest, because of what you want, because of what you hate. What I hate doesn't matter. And let me just say this. I find that a lot of our ladies, our sisters, they are the most powerful prophetically, but they have one setback: their emotions. Their emotions are their setback. If you can isolate your emotions, for the sisters here, isolate it technically. I'm not saying you should not be emotional. I said isolate any, once it has to do with God, isolate your emotions and let the will of God play out. You will find that in any situation, you would always be almost right, you know, in the decisions you will make. And I'm teaching you this in a very practical way now. All right? So these revelations do not come at the level of language. They come at the level of thought. All right? Let me quickly... Why is the prophetic mind so important? This mind The prophetic mind helps you become spirit conscious. You become more spiritually minded. All right. Most of the time, you will find that your mind bends towards the will of God, bends towards the Lord. You always want to worship God, even when you are in a bus or you are in a public, you know, you are in a public space. You just find that you have trained your mind to always defer to God. Okay, and that is a very important aspect of the prophetic mind. Secondly, the prophetic mind helps in discerning the mind of God easily and quickly. All right, sometimes you want to wait and say, oh, I want to have a vision. And this revelation is at a higher level. It's good to have a vision, but sometimes you really want to operate at the speed of thought. So you need the prophetic mind. Okay. Thirdly, it becomes easy to discern the various thoughts coming to your mind and isolate them. This one is from Satan. This one is from me. This one is from Funke. This one is from the film I watched last night. This one is from the pizza I ate 2 days ago. It's easy for you to, because you've put your mind on a default mode, it's easy to now, you know, synthesize all the information. You're able to like, okay, this is this. And you're able to just have a very quick overview about what the Lord is impressing your mind. Personally, if I'm prophesying to somebody that is close to me, all right? If I'm prophesying to somebody that is close to me, basically, generally, because I know you and you know me, I might know a few things about you. So the moment the Lord begins to talk to me about you, for those who might have seen this, who have been around, you'll just notice that I become quiet. Because if I tell you what I know, the first instance or the first position you might have is that, Pastor Benga already knows that about me. But so I need to get another information that is known only to you or to you and your wife. So I will need to withdraw. So mentally, I withdraw from everything. I delete everything I know about you. Then I move in deeper. I just go in deeply. I will go in deeply. And you're like, how did you know this? We had this conversation yesterday. It is because of the prophetic mind, all right? And you can get there. Some of you you've been getting some revelations that are incomplete, and they are incomplete because your mind is interfering. So I'm teaching you now that the key to the prophetic mind is to begin to use your mind to serve the will of God, not just as a thinking faculty to do what you like. Like, oh, it's my mind. No, it's not your mind. It was given to you by the Lord to serve his own will, okay? Why is the prophetic mind, important? Because with the prophetic mind, you don't have to dream to discern the voice of God. You don't have to dream. Let's go to another point. The prophetic mind is also important because this ability can go through any area of your life. It can see through any area of life. For instance, somebody is in your space, you just met this person. For some reason, you just know there's nothing about this thing. You are not hearing a voice. You don't have any detail, except that the Lord is giving you a witness in your heart that this relationship is not going anywhere. So you don't waste your time there. All right? So this gift, this ability can go into any area of your life. The kind of people to do business with, the kind of guys to hang around. Okay, let me quickly say this. There's somebody that is connected to this meeting right now, and you are about to go into a relationship with somebody that's been married, a man that has been married before, and you are a bit concerned. And now I am bringing you this word as a witness that you are not to proceed. Because there are a lot of things about this person that you do not know. And the Lord says, stay your ground. Don't proceed. This person, there's a lot of secrets around him that if you go ahead, you are going to regret it. I'm speaking specifically to a lady that is about to go into a relationship with a man that has once been married. And this word is specifically for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Okay. Now, with the prophetic mind, it is important because you can operate the word of knowledge and you can operate the word of wisdom through the prophetic mind. Like I spoke about the prophecy about the United Kingdom and Liz Truss and the new prime minister, you know, all of those happened with the prophetic mind, okay? You can also discern the spirit of error through the prophetic mind. You just, because your mind has been so trained to just, you know, hang around the Lord, you know, you go into a place, you just know that, oh, even if they are singing and dancing, you just know that God is not here, all right? God is not here, okay? So you can almost tell. And it's not you being cocky or being proud. It's just that your receptacles have become very sharp because of the things you use your mind for, all right? You use your mind for certain things. So it's just like when you go to your phone analytics, if you use an iPhone or Samsung, you go there, it tells you your screen time, or you spent more time on WhatsApp, you spent more time, less time on YouTube, you did this, you did that. So when you check your spiritual, you know, mind analytics, you should be seeing 84%, 90% that you spent, your mind spent that time thinking about the Lord, meditating about things of the Spirit, or worshiping God. The moment your mind gets into that environment, you will find that something will begin to change about the way you perceive the voice of God. How do I activate this operation? Praise God. This is a very important part. How do I activate this operation? The first thing is to ask the Holy Spirit to steer your heart in this dimension. This is very important. There are people who are operating this dimension in the flesh. They are operating it with mental power, through New Age techniques, through Buddhism and Hinduism, all right? And there's a whole lot of prophetic corruption that is coming in through New Age and through Hinduism. And you need to be very careful. You hear people, I hear a lot of prophets now talking about the third eye, you know, the third eye. So please, you have to be careful. It seems like the rod of Moses is also becoming a snake, just like the rod of the magician, but it's not the same spirit. That's why I'm saying to you here that the fourth thing here is for you to go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to steer this operation in your life. Number two, consciously and regularly dedicate your heart and your mind to the Lord, especially when you need this gift to work. Personally, what I've done is, if it's going to be a prophetic meeting, I pray this prayer. I try to pray this prayer. Sometimes I'm praying it in my mind and I'm asking, Lord, I yield my mind to you. I yield my emotions to you. I yield my imaginations to you. Lord, use my mind as you see fit. Lord, use my will as you see fit. Use my emotions as you see fit. Let me become a conduit. Let me become a direct conduit without limitation and restriction of the flow of the power of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So those are the kind of prayers you can pray, and you begin to, you pray them often till you carry that sense of being filled with the Holy Spirit in your heart. This is very, very important. Okay. Another thing you need to know here is that to activate this operation, learn not to judge anything after the seeing of the eye. Learn not to judge anything after the seeing of the eye. You see, many of the things we see are not the way they appear spiritually. All right? They are not the way they appear spiritually. So if you are just thinking, oh, you know, this person looks like a daughter of Jezebel, she may not be a daughter of Jezebel. The brother then may not be the son of Jezebel. It's just the way things appear to the eye. So you need to ask yourself, Holy Spirit, who is this person? The moment you become a critical person, you are always judging things after the seeing of the eye, you will fail in the administration of this gift. So you have to learn to be quiet. When people are talking to you, try to hear them with your spirit, not with your two ears. You have to learn it. You have to do it. Don't just try to hear with your spirit, all right? When you do that, very soon you will begin to tell who is actually telling the truth or who is lying. Learn not to judge anything after the seeing of the eye. Now, there's a very powerful key here that I have found to help. Powerful levels of meditation on the prophetic. Now, let me explain this. I'm going in for a meeting. It's going to be a prophetic meeting. I take some time out before I get on the pulpit and or before I get to church or wherever it is I'm preaching, and I begin to meditate on the presence of the Lord as it was in the life of Elijah, as it was in the life of Elisha, as it was in the life of Abraham, as it was in the life of Daniel. I begin to meditate on what it means to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and the ability to prophesy accurately. So when I'm meditating, I am meditating along a specific line that I am becoming a conduit of divine direction. I am able to discern the will of God accurately, and that I am able to lay hands and speak to people with instant manifestations of the power of God. So when I talk about meditation, these are the things, because whatever you meditate on consistently will be created around you. If you sit in your room and you keep meditating about Funke and Rolake, the chances that you are going to fornicate or commit adultery has become very high. So it is a spiritual stroke, very strong mental process. All right. So I begin to meditate on the prophetic. I begin to meditate on being able to prophesy accurately as being helped by the Holy Spirit. These strong levels of meditation will help you. This one is a guarantee. All right. The next one, again, as usual, and the last I'm going to give you here, is extensive praying in the Spirit. And let me quickly say something about praying in the Spirit. Some of us pray in the Holy Ghost, but we miss out on something very, you know, important. It's good to pray in the Holy Spirit and you are very energetic and very strong. But if you are going to be praying in the Holy Spirit and you are trusting God to pray for, like, say, 2 hours, 3 hours, you need to learn how to build momentum. So you start on a very slow note and you are praying and you are praying and you are praying. Then you begin to increase the tempo. You begin to raise 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 a tempo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as I'm talking to you now, I'm seeing vision. So I will need to hand over this back. But please, this matter of praying in tongues, it will build your spirit to premium capacity. We don't pray in tongues to mark time. We don't speak in tongues because we are Pentecostals or Pentecostals. We pray in tongues because we are filled with the Holy Ghost, and our spirit must be built to capacity. So you cannot overpray in tongues. You cannot overpray in the spirit. All right? You can pray all diverse kinds of prayers in the spirit. You can even sing in the spirit. So you need to understand and disabuse your mind from the religious definition of praying in tongues. That is weaponizing prayer at an exponential level. That's what tongues is. Weaponizing prayer at an exponential level.